WFS UFM now presents a delayed broadcast of the To the Village Square Community Forum of February 13, 2014. This is another in a series of Our Town programs featuring members of the City of Tallahassee and Leon County Commissions. Here's forum moderator Paul Fleming from the Tallahassee Democrat.
Welcome. Thank you. Glad to be here. I am the designated heavy for the evening. I will cut off and interrupt you if you go on too long, and that applies to you as well, commissioners. Understood?
Yes, sir.
In the interest of having a lively back and forth discussion, right? I am happy to be here. I'm Paul Fleming. I'm the politics and policy editor at the Tallahassee Democrat. Bob Gabordi, our executive editor, had agreed to moderate this evening. Then he realized that his son was being married on Friday and he would not be here because of that. However, that was mooted by the fact that Bob is stuck in Washington, D.C. in the snow, the horrible snow they're experiencing up there. So I look forward to a lively discussion, your questions, and the answers from our county and city commissioners. Welcome, Commissioner Gill. I'm glad to have you here. We are obviously taking your questions from the audience, and those will be picked up. We also have folks out with microphones in the audience, and we'll take your questions. Please keep them brief and succinct. Don't make me play the heavy. And then you can direct them at specific commissioners, or we can open it to the floor. I will skip around and make sure that all of our commissioners are represented in the responses and make sure that nobody takes over the floor here. And I'll refer to everybody as commissioner as appropriate, except for maybe Marianne, because I get to call Marianne because we used to work together. But I'll give you Commissioner Lindley, I'm sure. I just might slip, I'm telling you. Let's start off. I'm going to start off with the first question before we and have a chance to gather some questions from you all. So we'll hit you all with one that we've seen some point of disagreement this week. So we'll start off with news, because when people disagree, that's news, right? Let's talk about the sales tax extension, right, Commissioner Dozier? She suggested to me before the meeting, let me guess about the question, sales tax, sales tax, sales tax, sales tax. And I suspect that's right. Let's talk specifically about the economic development segment that may be on the ballot in November, which it may be on the ballot in November. A percentage or a fixed amount or neither? Commissioner Daly, you're sitting here right next to me. Will you answer that succinctly?
The other night I voted for, or the other day I should say, I voted specifically for a specific amount because that was a proposal that was on the table. It was the first bite of the apple. We are going to have several votes between the intergovernmental agency and back at the county commission as well. The bottom line is I'm in favor of the economic development package as it moves forward. And I am interested in working with my colleagues to come to consensus and colleagues over the city commission as well. Because at the end of the day, it needs to be a united front with the community in agreement to go on the ballot as referendum. So I supported the specific amount the other day. We'll continue to support the economic development package overall. And by the way, thanks for having us today.
Really, oh, you're welcome. It. And let's be clear, you all on the county commission side are the deciders. Is that the right way to say that?
Correct.
But do you welcome hearing from your city commission brethren, or would you like to start the war right now? Both? We'll leave that out there. Commissioner Gillum, you show up late, you get the first question. Will you answer that? What do you think? A percentage or a dollar figure for the economic segment of the
This is fresh on our mind because the city just got out of our retreat today. And our decision was to endorse what came from the sales tax committee as well as the public process around Imagine Tallahassee and the recommendation they made, which was for 12% of the money to go toward economic development for the specific projects that were vetted through those two public processes. And I think the consensus was is that we all agreed to a process. That process sort of carried its way out, and the citizens came forward with a recommendation, and we ought to honor that.
Let's have another sales tax question. This may soon become a theme. If the sales tax extension is approved or in the run-up to the approval, do you all have plans? This is a question from a member of the audience, by the way, to conduct impact studies and to make sure that the benchmarks, if those apply for those projects, are met. The specific mention of water quality, stormwater containment, and other environmental resources. Commissioner Dozier, I'm going to throw this one to you. What assurance, this is my paraphrase, what assurance do voters have that you're going to do what you say you're going to do and it's going to work?
I think the best assurance is the Blueprint IA, which you can watch us every couple of months as all 12 commissioners sit on the Blueprint Intergovernmental Agency. It's a system that has served us quite well for Blueprint 2000. And every project that is on the referendum list in Blueprint 2000 and, you know, going forward on the referendum likely this year, those projects are what stays on our list for the duration of that tax. But as I'm sure you could guess, there's a lot of different design steps and other things that we've got to vet through that process. So the Blueprint IA board is all 12 of us. It is completely public, and it absolutely will keep us going. And I think on the economic development component, it is responsible to have those projects vetted through that committee as well. Yes, the citizens came back with a great list, but it was put together in a few months. And we need to dig in a lot more to make sure we are responsible in setting up the right kind of programs to administer that large amount of money.
Commissioner Ziffer, you can't stand over there and or sit over there and shake your head. I'm going to call on you when you do that.
Looking at something else.
Something else. Oh, well, you're, Commissioner Ziffer.
I'm just going to address one part of it, and it has to do, there's been a lot of discussion about, for example, putting sewer down to Woodville. And I think before we do that, I think it's important for us to determine if that's the best way to service the needs down there. So, for example, to answer your question, on some of these, before we just move forward, let's make sure that we have the right plan in place so that we're doing exactly what's right. Sewer in Woodville, for example, in Killarn, when we did it in Killarn Lakes, it cost money to hook up. A lot of people didn't do it. I'm not sure that's going to change if we done it at Woodville, and there may be some localized efforts we can do where we solve the same problem, which is getting septic tanks out of the system, but doing it differently than centralized sewer. So I think, piggybacking on Commissioner Dozier's comments, Blueprint will do it the right way. I think we've proven, and previous commissions have proven, that the tax dollars are very important to us to do the right way. In this particular case, particularly when it comes to wastewater and stormwater, let's make sure we have the right plan in place.
Very good, succinct questions and answers. I appreciate that. I'm going to remind folks listening and watching, as well as those folks here, that we are working with a single hashtag, hashtag TDVSQ, on Twitter. If you want to give us your pithy comments there, we'll take place in the...
Just a quick question. So once we've answered a question, we can leave?
Certainly. We will then talk about you. Commissioner Miller. I have a question, another question from the audience, with an introduction about many issues that we face as citizens. This is a non-sales tax question about global warming, environmental issues, economic interests, and asks, what can we do locally to overcome poor other decisions at the state and federal level? I have a couple questions about some state things that we'll get to later on, but that's an interesting question about general purpose. I'm going to throw that to Commissioner Maddox. You're going to get the first shot at this large question. I have confidence you can address it.
Okay, so what do you want to hear on the...
What can we do locally to overcome poor decisions at the state and federal level? It makes specific reference to environmental issues as well as economic issues. Are there effective things that we should be asking you about global warming, Commissioner Maddox?
Well, I'll be glad to give you my opinion, but first of all, you know, I'm not shy, and this is not a partisan event, and we should all be nonpartisan. But if you care about Tallahassee, I would not vote for the incumbent governor to start with, because the economic policy, well, I deserve that ding, but you asked a question. the current economic policies are bad for Tallahassee. Is he has a chart in his office that shows private sector jobs and public sector jobs, and he's trying to get the public sector jobs to go off the chart. That is a direct hit on us. So that's a big problem for Tallahassee. As far as what we can do for global warming, we need to support candidates of both parties, of no parties, that just believe in science. So a lot of times you hear the national discourse, which has gotten terrible, but you hear people that don't believe in science. If you just believe in science, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, if you're a reasonable person and will listen to reasonable things, I think it'll make a difference.
Commissioner Lindley, would you like to address that from the county side?
Not particularly, thank you.
That's a fair response.
It's a fair. I've grown very provincial, you know. It's just within the county lines here. Well, Leon County actually has a very strong sustainability program, which we've had in place for a long time, so we are trying to do a lot of things locally that are environmentally very sound and maybe counteract to some extent state and federal policies. We also are trying to pay close attention to what our state legislators are doing, and also in Congress, and we are lobbying for, you know, as best we can for the issues that we think are important. I think one of, you know, what we were talking about earlier about the septic tanks versus the sewer systems, we know we want to improve water quality and protect our springs in this area. So I think there are a lot of things that we can do very practically and immediately that we can work on and just be good citizens and good voters otherwise.
Thank you very much. This is one for, I'm going to ask a couple county commissioners because this reflects a county decision that has been made. So the questioner says, illegal dumping in the forest since the fee for rural waste collection center went into place. Would you all address this? I can give a little background. I would leave that to you all as to do for yourselves. But for the residents who can't afford the fees is being posited here by the questioner as a reason for that. Commissioner DeLoge, would you address the decision you all made last year in relation to trash pickup?
Sure. And most of y'all know that in the unincorporated area, we change providers. And there is we have been paying, everybody in the county has been paying for the roll-off sites out in the outlying areas, Miccosukee, Fort Braden. And so when we talked about closing the roll-off sites, across the board, people came forward and said, we want the roll-off sites, we're willing to pay for them. And so that was the compromise, because our original decision was to close the roll-off sites and go to a mandatory collection where everybody would have to have garbage collection. It's a little-known fact. In my district in Killarn Lakes, there are 400 people that don't get garbage service. So the question is, where do they take their garbage? Is it their neighbor? Is it the roll-off site? So it's an imperfect system, and we struggle with the compromise between, do we close the dumps completely and force people to go to collection, or do we open them up but charge a fee? And we're kind of cutting our teeth on how that fee system works. So far, I think it's worked reasonably well. Certainly there are going to be people all the time that are going to, you know, use the National Forest as their dumping ground.
I'm making a note, Commissioner DeLoge. 400 scofflaws in Killarn Lakes. Is that...
I was going to print it just out of fun. No. Okay.
That's fascinating. I'm going to throw in one of my own here, another point of contention. This week, the Cultural Arts Grant Making Administration in our community. Commissioner Miller, I'm heading your way, so fair warning. Should we keep that as it is now, keep it as it is with greater oversight, or scrap the current procedure and have a new administrator for that system?
I certainly don't believe we should scrap COCA by any means. I think we need to raise the profile of COCA in our community, and that is really where I think we should go. That's a change. Right now they're limited on fundraising, and I think we should let the reins loose a little bit so that they can fundraise in order to market all of our arts as a unit, basically. We have one of the richest, most talented communities, certainly one of the most educated. We have one of the most historic historic communities, and that is a word. Those words aren't out. We should be known as a destination where people can go and I mean, just the history that's within a half a mile of the Cascades Park alone, with the DeSoto site and the Riley House in Smoky Hollow and the Capitol and the site of on and on and on. These are, people should be able to walk out of the Capitol building and walk right into the Florida Museum, which is right behind them. I feel that we are not marketing that segment of our economy nearly as well as we could. So those are the changes I'd like to see. And so I'd like to see COCA have a stronger profile more than a lower profile.
Commissioner Dozier, would you respond to that and what you think about what the right answer is there?
Sure. I have served on the COCA board for 3 years along with Commissioner Zephyr, and I think anyone on the COCA board would tell you that we have been very critical of some of the things that have happened in the past. There needs to be a lot of changes. We need to push the envelope with culture and arts. It's good for our community, quality of life, economy, everything else. However, so much good work has been done, both with the Cultural Plan Review Committee in the last year and the COCA board. And those two groups started off at odds and at the end agreed on 99% of what the recommendations were. I did not want to, and we got, I don't remember what Commissioner Proctor did, so it was unanimous or almost unanimous. We voted to keep this with COCA and not move it over to the TDC because tourism has a different mission. Having said that, I think there are absolutely ways that we can improve efficiency with the marketing budget and things like that, as Commissioner Miller said, and I'm really looking forward to that. The last plan in 2003, it got us a good way, but it left a lot of holes. Annual reporting, different things like that. I think this new plan, if you look at it, you'll see it. It's much tighter, and it really moves the ball forward. And I think we've made the right decision on the county side on Tuesday to keep it with COCA. I'm glad the city, you know, backed that up. And I look forward to really working closely, not just with them, but with also COCA to really see a much better culture and arts organization going forward.
I'm going to keep this one going for a little bit. And Commissioner Daly, were you all just stirring up the hornet's nest earlier this week? You all accepted the recommendation, stuck with COCA, but you had a discussion that seemed to rattle a few cages. I don't want to speak for them, but elsewhere. What did you ever think, or you can speak on behalf of the board or just for yourself, what was the thinking there about looking at that or raising and discussing that issue with the Cultural Arts Plan report?
Well, I think that Kristen and Nancy are both correct. We've got a great organization that should stay. We've got a great organization that should stay an independent body with dedicated volunteers that are appointed to the COCA board. However, there are some room for some great opportunities to move forward. Nancy is absolutely correct. We hold COCA hostage by not allowing them to do fundraising on behalf of all of the arts community. Now, I will say this, Paul. One of the neat things that did come out of the issue on Tuesday is the fact that we all heard from – I probably got a couple hundred emails and phone calls myself. And the level of interest in this community – in what happens in the cultural arts programs was a tremendous response, and I'm very appreciative for everyone that did reach out to weigh in on the issue. I think we're heading in the right direction, though. To answer your question, there are times when staff will come with recommendations for us to consider that generate the kind of buzz that they did this week, and I will never fault staff for thinking creatively and trying to bring different options to the table for us to consider. We talked about it. We picked a direction. It happened to be the direction that the majority of those in favor of where they wanted us to go. But at no times will I ever fault our staff for thinking creatively and bringing different options to the table, no matter how difficult they may be to decide on where to go.
Commissioner Zephyr, I'm going to throw it back on the city side and give you a chance at this. I think I'm correct in saying you were the chief impetus behind the cultural arts report. So what's your take on how things went down this week and any consideration of changing how the administration of those grants takes place in our community?
No, I think that the grants need to stay right where they are. Arts and culture and heritage people need to be the ones the judge the benefit and the best place for arts, culture, and heritage grants to go. And so in my mind, there was never an option to move it under the Tourist Development Council. Tourist Development Council advertises in markets outside our county, outside our region, to bring people here. COCA's responsibility, for the most part, is to promote arts, heritage, and culture to our community. Very different animals. And so I never had a doubt that the grants should stay where they are. Now, having said that, and as Kristen, Commissioner Dozier mentioned, she and I have been sitting on this COCA board. COCA needs to change and step up and have some stronger effort in a lot of different areas. The board is changing. There was some discussion as far as oversight. I think that's important, too. I think everyone needs oversight. Over $1 million goes to this organization. And I'm on that board, so I'm going to say we can do better, and we will.
I'm going to we're going to go out in the audience and have a question from an audience member. Please go ahead.
I don't know if anyone from Imagine Tallahassee is here tonight and can refresh my memory in case I've got this wrong. But at one of the sessions I went to for Imagine Tallahassee, they mentioned that over the last 20 or 30 years, as a result of economic development efforts, it was something like 2% of the economic growth in Leon County was due to recruitment of outside businesses and that sort of thing and relocation. And I'm just wondering, in light of that track record, I realize that the current proposal is, I understand from what I've read in the paper, has some things like small business loans and that sort of thing. But why should we keep funding these efforts to try and recruit in, go out to Austin and try and recruit in some big employer when it obviously hasn't worked in the past? Either somebody doesn't know what they're doing or we're just not the right spot for it. So I just, I'm very leery about this huge allocation of the sales tax to economic development, and I'd like some explanation for it. Thanks.
Thank you. Does anyone have an overriding desire to be first, or I'll pick one of you? Commissioner Lindley, please.
I don't know if I really. I think the main thing about, I think economic development in that package is kind of a two-edged sword in a way. A lot of people think it'll be a great piece of the whole program, and others, I think, are a little leery of it. So I think we do have to be very careful about how that's explained. We've never had this in our sales tax, the local option sales tax before. We have not had an economic development piece as such, although there is an argument to be made that everything on that list will stimulate the economy locally, because there are a lot of construction projects of roads and ditches and parks and trails and so forth. To me, the biggest piece of this proposed from Imagine Tallahassee is the Madison Mile. It's a $20 million investment. That's going to do a lot, I think, to connect the town gown systems around here, something we've wanted to do a better job of for many, many years. So of all of those projects on the list, and there are some larger and smaller, to me that is the cincher, and I just...
Commissioner Lindley, let me follow up, and I'm going to ask this when you bring that up. Why is it important for the Madison Mile? Why is it not important for Appalachian Parkway or Cary Forest or West Tennessee? Why pick Madison as the center point of that $20 million?
I think one of the things is just there's so much more to be gained from having a stronger town gown community, that the community benefits from the universities, the faculty, the intelligence, the involvement in other ways than football. To me, that's just going to be the premier. It's going to be a game changer, much like the Gaines Street redevelopment has been.
Commissioner Gillum, the general question asked of the audience member, and then if you wish, you could also address what I asked about. I hope, are familiar with my view that I've expressed in my column about y'all picking winners and losers. Either one, please.
Sure, I'm going to take his question.
Sure.
It's easier. Something like they say, 98% of business in this country is considered small business. And if there's a criticism that can be leveraged against us, it's probably been that we put a lot of resources, or at least tried to put a lot of resources, into attracting in business and companies into this community, frankly, to diversify our economy. I think any of us would agree that it is too dangerous anytime you become over-reliant on only one source of sort of occupation. And for us, the company town being school education, higher education, the state. So I actually don't think it's focusing only internal. I think you do got to bring some things into this community. But I also think that we've got to do with some of, I think the county has already started with, take for instance, Massive, the local incubator that the county put resources toward and helping to take some of the brain capacity we've got between FAMU, Florida State, TCC, folks who have great ideas, want to bring those ideas to market. And frankly, we want them to do it here and not in Silicon Valley. And so we're trying to create, I think, the sort of economic engine for our community that does incubate new ideas and bring them to scale and to market, that supports small business and local business to help them grow, and I think to attract outside business that comes in that can diversify our local economy. I don't think with a community our size, given how the intellectual punch that we pack, that we can be short-sighted or limited in how we view economic development. I think we've got to have an expansive approach. And I'm pleased that part of what has come back as part of this sales tax initiative is taking a new look at economic development and redefining that for us.
Commissioner Deloge, I'm going to ask you to address the question from the audience as well.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Economic development is a little loosey-goosey for some people, and the winners and losers argument, which is brought up all the time, you have to get in the game. We've got a great story to tell. As Commissioner Gillum pointed out, left to our own, we would become just a pure public sector town. And so we're doing everything in our power to try and spread that out a little bit. And there's not a perfect answer, but you look back at TurboCore going back a ways, you look at the law firm that just moved a couple hundred employees down here. These don't happen unless we're out there banging on doors, trying to get people into our community. And like I said, we have a great story to tell. Madison Mile is a unique situation where it's a partnership between the university, between the boosters, between the private sector. You've got a $100 million business school that's going to go in, that half of that's going to be privately raised. You've got a practice facility. You've got our $20 million investment, which is the proposal, will kickstart $250 million worth of construction, which frankly is a huge deal, which you wouldn't see anywhere else in the town. And you've got all the players at the table.
Commissioner Daly, you have an interest. Everybody's interested in this one. We'll make the rounds.
And I agree with the comments that have been made. I think another interesting aspect when you ask why Madison Mile.
Could you hold the mic?
Sure. Sorry. I think one of the interesting aspects when you ask why the Madison Mile was also the process. It started off as a proposal through Imagine Tallahassee, properly vetted by the citizens that live here, recommended by the committee that was appointed, properly vetted through the Sales Tax Exemption Committee, voted upon and recommended to us, and now it is at our level. For the past 2 years, citizens have volunteered thousands of hours to participate in this process. So it was brought forth and embraced on two different citizen levels and has been recommended forward, and I'm very pleased to see the recommendation come forward.
Commissioner Ziffer.
Yeah, just very quickly. And another reason is proximity to existing facilities that can serve tourism and convention centers, because part of this project is a major hotel and conference center situated immediately between the Civic Center and the Turnbull Center with connectivity. So all of a sudden you have an opportunity to bring in major conventions to our community that we have not been able to do because we do not have those facilities in place. This does it. And with that, you bring people here that start to say, what a wonderful place this is. Maybe I should move my business here. We can't do that right now. This will do that for us, and it's leveraging, quite frankly, our $20 million and $240 million from somewhere else.
Commissioner Maddox, please.
Thank you, sir. On the economic development in general, Brian, I agree with you that we can't put all our efforts in the past like we have on hunting the big elephant to try to bring them to town. It's got to be more than that today. We live in a global economy. We have startups in our own area. Now, having said that, if we get an opportunity at a Scripps, at a Piper, at something that could possibly be game-changing for our community, we should have the flexibility to go out there and make the infrastructure investment that would be needed to bring them here, which is what that pot of money is all about. At the same time, and if you look at the recommendations that came back on that specific pot, we can go after help businesses like Taxol that we've done in the past, like Bing Energy, like a lot of the stuff that Rick Carney has done, to help the folks that have national and international appeal that started right here in Tallahassee. But we also,
go ahead.
We also cannot forget that the public sector jobs have the biggest impact on us. So I brought this up earlier at our retreat. We ignore that because we're trying to diversify our economy. We ignore the fact that when we lose those public sector jobs, that hurts us much more than the handful, 200 jobs at Kay Scholer versus 6,000 jobs cut in one administration. So the math shows us we got to pay attention to both.
Commissioner Dozier.
I just can't help it, but thank you.
That's okay. Yes. Everybody's going to have a chance.
And jumping off of, I agree with a lot of what's been said, but I think we have to also recognize that the last few years have been very, very different. We have new things going on at the EDC and the Chamber. I have spent my last 3 years a lot of time out at Innovation Park. We know what happened 4 years out there, 4 years ago. We have just struck a deal with FAMU and FSU that is the first time the three organizations have come together. There was this meeting yesterday about how to get the pipeline of information on what research and technology is coming out of the universities into the marketing format. So it's not just about attracting businesses. And Brian, I agree with you. I mean, we've kind of focused too much on that. We need to diversify, as everyone else has said. But this is happening right now. And I'll just tie it back to the economic development component of the sales tax. That money won't start coming until 2020. It's a 20-year tax. And we, I believe strongly, have done so much in the last couple of years, will do so much in the next few years, that whether it is public sector incubators like Massive, private or nonprofits like Domi or other things like that, we're going to see a lot more. And this will help us diversify our economic base, which is good, and it's starting right now. So what we're talking about with sales tax helps takes us to the next level. And it's a game changer. It's something we've never had before.
Commissioner Miller, I'm going to come to you immediately, but you raise an interesting point there, Commissioner. And after Commissioner Miller gets her say, then I'm going to throw it back around to you. What do you expect would be immediately bonded if this were passed in November? You raise a question about the 20-year horizon of this, and I know there's discussion already about some of these may need to be kickstarted earlier, and so. Well, let me go to Commissioner Miller and let you respond to the general question.
Well, on the general question, this is going to be a major topic of conversation, so I think it warrants the amount of time that we're spending on it here tonight. And
this won't be the last of it, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. And I think that whether you go with 10 or 12%, we'll see at the end of the day. But the fact is that out of that percentage point, and this tax is expected to generate somewhere in the vicinity of plus or minus, who knows, $700 million. And yet, even out of the economic development piece, which is around at 12% is around $90 million over 20 years, only 12 of that is dedicated to attracting outside businesses per se. So it's still a very small portion. The vast majority of the package that the Imagine and the sales tax brought back is focused on building the businesses that already live in Tallahassee, building up the culture and the arts sector, and so on, things like that. So I think that should give people a real level of confidence. The last thing I wanted to comment about is that level of confidence. We want to put in place, just as we did with the last blueprint, we want to put in place a governance structure, just like the Citizens Advisory Committee and the IA. We want to put in a governance structure that gives people confidence, that is watching over that, a strong organization that will be watching over this particular pot of money and determining where it goes. So I think that's a real important piece, too.
That goes back to one of the first questions we had about your intent to have follow-up studies and benchmarks and Several of our recent residents at the governor's mansion have very much liked to say, if you don't measure it, how do you know if you're winning? I think that that would apply to all the projects that are on there, but particularly to the economic development elements of that. You all are not going to be in office for the next 20 years. Perhaps you are. I don't know. But what assurance as a voter can you provide me that we're going to be watching over that, as Commissioner Miller makes mention? I'll go right back to you, Commissioner Miller.
I would love to have that. For one thing, on the current sales tax, I can point to it. It's out there. Everybody can see it. They can go back. What in a sales tax, what we're doing, what we as a community are doing, is putting together a product that we would like for the citizens to buy into. In the last election, two out of three of the citizens bought into the concept. They saw the list, and they said, we like this list. We want to see this done. We're willing to pay that extra penny. We're hoping to reproduce that effort now. And no, I will not be in office for the next 20 years. But we need to lay some groundwork for some folks in the future and make some obligations to people based on the needs that we see. And that is going to mean there will be a list, there will be specificity, and people at any point can go along and say, this is how this is doing, this is how this is doing. I hope that we implement the next blueprint governance just very similarly to what is there now. Because right now, I think we definitely have the ability at any point to see a check and balance and see where we are.
Commissioner Maddox.
I had to chuckle to myself because I remember that same question in the last one and me thinking, I won't be up there. And here I am. When we did the last sales tax, and Commissioner Miller will remember as a committee member, and Commissioner Lindley will remember from writing about it, there was no thing called blueprint. So we designed blueprint for that specific reason. Road projects in particular, infrastructure projects, when they had opposition to them, would be a start-stop back and forth. Blairstone Road, they would vote to build Blairstone Road, and then there'd be opposition, and a commissioner would change here or there, and they would undo it. And it went back for 25 years, back and forth. So Blueprint was formed that required a separate organization that would let the bids, oversee the contracts. We required a supermajority to change anything off the list, publishing of the list beforehand, letting everybody know specifically where their dollars would go, and then a check system on the back end so you can specifically see that the things you voted on were done. With the exception of Capital Circle Southwest, which is on this one, everything that was on that list was done. So we got a good track record.
Commissioner Lindley, would you like to respond about oversight on the sales tax extension projects?
One of the things, I think we have going for us most is that the original blueprint has worked so well, and Nancy Miller was instrumental in that early days, and the attitude of the holistic projects. Every project had an environmental piece, a transportation piece, a recreational piece. So I think we have such a good track record. For me, the important thing to keep in mind is while we want oversight, we also know that in the next, it'll actually be 25 years, the money won't start coming in until 2020. So many things can change that are unforeseen. So we have to have a really great oversight committee as it goes along. Right now, I think the important thing is to reassure people that whether it's 10% or 12% for economic development, 88% or 90% is for all kinds of other needs, a wide array of other needs in our community. And we want people to have confidence that those projects will touch everyone in this community at some time or another. And they will be. There will be checks and balances, and we'll also be changing as the community changes in ways that we cannot foresee at this time.
We'll be talking more about this, I'm sure. I'm going to go. Leslie, would you have a question from the audience? I'd like to introduce a new question.
We're getting some great questions, so if you want to ask your question, please just raise your hand. So on this same topic, we have another gentleman with a great question.
With respect to DeVoe Moore's all-or-nothing capitalism versus communism approach to business and government, is this not the time for the city and county to promote employee-owned businesses in which nearly all of the dollars remain in the community instead of flowing out?
Who wants to volunteer for that one? Commissioner DeLoge, please, defend capitalism.
I mean, there's a balance here. I mean, I've had a business and made a payroll for 20 years, and I certainly employ local people, and my money stays here. But if Bass Pro Shop, if the choice was have them or not have them, and they've got 300 employees, and they spend a lot of money on construction, and they spend a lot of money in our community, I think most people in the room would say, I'll take that, you know, if it's an either-or. You've got to have a little bit of both. And business is tough. It's not easy. We had some real tough stories this week in our commission. I think you need both. And I don't want to turn my back on anybody coming to town if they're hiring people, if they're spending money in my community, whether it's just for a night or two or it's permanently. So I think we encourage that. And you look at Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and some of the big – we're at that tipping point as a community, I think, that we're starting to get on a lot of people's radar.
Commissioner Gillum, would you like to address this question?
I laugh so hard because when I got on the commission in 2003, I met with the then treasurer clerk at the time, which is a gentleman named Mr. Gary Herndon, and I had read in a magazine about these co-ops and where pension money from cities was basically being leveraged by the employees who were contributing to these pension plans, and a pot of that money was set aside for them to then take that money and reinvest in employee businesses and in local businesses. And I mentioned that to Mr. Herndon, who is, you know, a great guy but extremely conservative with the purse. I mean, he thought I was from, I don't know, Woodstock. I mean, I was just... there was no flavor for it, and he basically said the actuaries and those guys would never, you know, allow that thing to happen. Your first obligation is one of a fiduciary agent, so on and so forth. But I say that to say that that was one of, you know, an original thought that I, that not my original thought, but an early thought around economic development, which was taking money generated, invested by the people of this community back into our local economy. But I have to say, I agree with Commissioner DeLoge that it is not an either-or approach. We don't have the luxury of that. I think it's and both.
I was going to say with this love fest that we weren't making any news here, but now we have. Commissioner Gillum and Commissioner DeLoge agree. Clarence, you have a question from out in the audience, please.
This is Mr. Joe Barnett. He has a question.
First, I just want to say I love Tallahassee, as I tell everyone. I love almost every commissioner on here, especially everyone up there. And I really like Commissioner Miller on Blueprint 2000. I really love how that worked. And she, I'm always a skeptic on spending money, but she convinced me that was good and it turned out good. I do have a lot of concerns on this one, so I'm hoping you can convince me. But it's my job is healthcare, and every day I see 80-year-olds that are like 50-year-olds and 50-year-olds like 80-year-olds. And so... the biggest thing the healthy people do is they're out walking or biking every day. It's every day, not just going to the gym once in a while. So I think this Blueprint 2000, the thing that scares me is that, one quick story, my son and two girls that spent their 6 months overseas, they lost 30 pounds just because of the way the city was designed. So the Blueprint 2000 to me looks like it's spending $200 or $300 million on more roads. And I think that's going to send Tallahassee to a more unhealthy city. And they're doing so many good things to get everybody walking in Tallahassee, but it, unless I'm reading it wrong, it looks like about $300 million to make more roads and wider roads, which is the opposite if we want a healthy city.
Commissioner Ziffer.
If I remember my numbers correctly, there's the county has 10%, city has 10%, and roughly another 70% or 68%, depending upon how you look at it, would be spent on combined. Of that, the combined, $50 million, I think, was put aside for sidewalks. And then the city has already committed another $25 million of our 10% to go to sidewalks. So you're looking at $75 million to build sidewalks, which is considerable. And then also
greenways
and bike paths and all sorts of other things. So we have some needs that are already existing. And I think a lot of that construction, that's what you're talking about. Plus, Capital Circle Southwest, which is a big piece. The airport is an amazing opportunity for us from an economic development standpoint. It's like 50% underutilized airspace. There's some real good opportunities for us to do things there that a lot of other communities in the Southeast can't do. We need access to that airport and a better road that exists now. So I think both the city and county, we have made commitments in this new tax extension for bypass, for sidewalks, for greenways, and I think, at least in our discussion, those are probably some of the things we want to do first.
Commissioner DeLoge, I think you were eager to answer that.
Joe, we hear you loud and clear. And in fact, when the projects were put together, instead of saying, and I'll use Bannerman as an example, instead of saying, let's just widen Bannerman because it badly needs that, the decision was, how do you do a little bit more holistic? There's going to be a bike, St. Mark's type trail that will run the entire length of Bannerman. There's going to be some offshoots off into the neighborhood. So we're, you know, we've got Trailhassee, which most of you may have heard about, which is basically linking all of the trails in our community together. You know, the state, the city, the federal, the county, so that you can basically move around the community. So we're very conscious of that, and we get it. And as has been pointed out, there's a lot of money rolled in different sections in this. And connecting the neighborhoods and the parks and everything. Yeah, no, it's a great point, and we're with you on that.
Commissioner Lindley, please, and then I'm going to move on.
Well, I just wanted to add also, I think both city and county policies on all road building includes sidewalks and bicycle lanes wherever feasible. So, I mean, I think we really bought into the whole idea. The county elevated another $13 million, I think it was, for the St. Mark's Linear Park up into Tier 1. So I think there's a lot more enthusiasm than you may see at first glance.
I note that we've got five commissioners up here with their phones, a couple of them looking at. So I'm going to go to a Twitter question that we had and remind you all that we do have a hashtag for the event, hashtag TDVSQ. But Clarence, could you...
This is a question from our online audience.
So we're over here manning the Twitter accounts while you all are on stage. And we got a question asking commissioners to comment on the Edison project at the Cascades Park.
Commissioner Miller, please.
I would like to make one opening comment on that. That the Edison is to be located in the electric building, is that all of you may not know, because it was covered up by brush up until fairly recently when we started the park. And as one contractor came up to me one day and said when I was on a tour, are you really going to open with it like that, right in the middle of the park? Which lit up this huge light bulb, speaking of the Edison. And I went back to my commission and said, what are we going to do about this? So we proceeded to try to figure out a way to get that building renovated. That is my personal number one priority related to that project. The public sector money that has gone into that is primarily on renovating the building. What happened next was that our staff did a market study to find out what the best use would be. The results came back and were presented before us, and the best use was determined to be that of a restaurant and ancillary support other things. So we put out an RFP, fair and square. That's a request for proposals. Forgive me for the initials. We put out an RFP, and we had two respondents. One was much more clear and clearly defined than the other. They won that RFP, that contract, fair and square. Anybody could have applied, but they're the ones who did it, and they're the ones that got the contract. So they're proceeding, putting up $1.5 million of their own money to build out the interior space into a restaurant, and basically that's the story of the Edison.
Commissioner Gillum.
Yes.
Would you please also respond to this question?
Well, Commissioner Miller.
I can ask you my own related to this.
Well, I was going to say Commissioner Miller did an excellent job of explaining. The only thing I could add is the timeline that she set in motion didn't take into consideration that 8 years ago I was still on the commission, and Commissioners Mushin and Commissioner Debbie Lightsey fought very hard to preserve that building for its historic nature. It's got solid bones. We all knew what was coming along the pipeline for Cascades Park. We, as a commission, got convinced that it was worth saving. And given that we expect to have concerts, Shakespeare in the Park, any number of activities happening in that park, people walking, exercising, so on and so forth, it's a great opportunity to have a food venue inside that park, which I think by all accounts, I think we would all agree is going to be state of the art and unique by its very nature. The only other point I would make on this, as much has been made about giveaways and whether or not we've incentivized or done back dealing, all that crap that comes with the territory. The truth is that every single public dollar that is going into that building will stay with that building. And so regardless of whether the Edison is successful, and I hope it is as a citizen and as a policymaker, whether it's successful or not, frankly, is not as much my business or our business as is the money going in there, staying preserved, solidifying that building, restoring it to its extremely attractive and historic nature, so that if it doesn't work, that we still have it available for something else to come in there and make that park all that we all want it to be.
Commissioner Dozier, I'm going to ask you about, Commissioner Gillum raises the question or mentioned concerts, Shakespeare in the Park, as Commissioner Miller said, with the restaurant and other ancillary uses. What are your concerns there with Cascades, or what are you all doing to address existing concerns from folks that I know that you have heard?
Absolutely. Myers Park is in District 5, so I have heard a lot, but I think we've all heard a good amount about some of the concerns with the amphitheater there.
Commissioner, could you hold it?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I didn't want to get any feedback there. So I think there is a valid concern with folks living in Myers Park that, you know, the noise, flow of traffic, safety issues, all kinds of stuff came up. I think we've dealt with a lot of that. There'll be parking agreements with the state, so we can use all of the different parking garages on the downtown side and keep people out of the neighborhood, things like that. But specifically on the noise and the concerts, I was a huge proponent of the Performing Arts Center. I argued vigorously for us to take money out of the Performing Arts Center or penny that was there, and put it towards this. It's a performance venue. I think it's a game changer. Most of us were out there yesterday. It's gorgeous. It was always going to be angled towards the neighborhood because this is a stormwater park project first and foremost. It has to go with the slope of the land. But we have done a lot. There's citizens groups, other things like that. The sound tests have been done. And I think what you're going to see, we've been in houses. I've sat on front porch with decibel readers. It's getting a lot better. The first year, I think we're going to have to be careful every single time we go. But with the progress we've made in the last year and a half, I think we're going to get there. I know the red card's up. One last comment. I think the real debate, the Edison and leasing that building and everything, has been on the city's agenda. For me, the primary concern I heard from residents was when there was a proposal to put a bar there that may stay open after midnight or to 1 or 2 in the morning. That was more of a troubling piece. Now that it's back to a restaurant, I don't know if it was ever in the other place, but now that it is a restaurant moving forward, people are very happy.
I liked that Twitter question an awful lot, so we're going to go back to the Twitters. Clarence, if you have another question for us.
All right. Tallahassee Downtown asks, can we ask commissioners what their favorite thing about downtown is these days? Because there's lots going on.
Oh, good Lord. Commissioner Lindley, would you like to field that softball question?
It's Jay Revel. the head of the
we
downtown.
We just all love Jay Revel.
Do you know what I love is living downtown, walking to the New Year's Eve celebration, going to the Clayman Plaza events. I actually stayed up till 1:30 in the morning this past New Year's Eve, so that was a real tribute to downtown staying power for me. I love the courthouse, of course, home away from home. There's so much going on downtown. It's a little bit of a digression, but I feel compelled to speak for Commissioner Proctor also about the Edison, because he is constantly talking about economic help for the South Side, and seeing that restaurant come in is really the beginning of a lot of things that we were hoping would see coming off of the Cascades Park area. And that's not quite downtown, it's a little bit on down the road, but I think that's important. So we think Jay rocks.
Commissioner Daley, would you like to take a swing at what you love about downtown Tallahassee?
I think it's great. Anytime during the spring or the fall when you go out on a Saturday and you got the market downtown, and there's just so much going on, and it's vibrant, and you can feel it. And you mix that in with the great festivals that we have downtown, and then we're going to bring Cascades online as well. But I'm going to chime in and recognize Jay Revel. And Jay, stand up real quick. Jay is the executive director of the Downtown Improvement Authority. I am. Commissioner Miller and I serve on his board as well, and he is the catalyst. He is the one that is single-handedly driving this train and doing a fantastic job. He's been there for about a year, and he's got a great vision, and a vision that I believe the city and the county have bought into, and we're seeing amazing things.
Commissioner Maddox, you want to join the Love Fest here?
Briefly, I love downtown. My wife is here, my wife Shay, and you know we'll go eat and be real close to home and everything right here, but today I brought up at the City Commission retreat, filling in a few of the gaps, West Tennessee Street, parts of Frenchtown, College Avenue, Adams Street, and we are very close from having the cool start at Cascades, bounded by the east with Franklin Boulevard, bounded by the west with the stadium and Florida State University, bounded by the south by Florida A&M University, going through Frenchtown, up around the governor's mansion and what they want to do with history there and the Grove, and the cool going all the way without a break to the Midtown caboose. That's a lot of cool in a short distance. It's not the downtown that we were all used to that used to live and die in just these two or three blocks. So that's what I'm excited about.
That's what I'll say. Commissioner Daley wants to jump back in. I'll give you a short entry point here. Go ahead.
Though something that does need to be considered, and I'd encourage the City Commission to take a hard look at this. Scott, you're absolutely right. It's different from when we grew up here in town. With that, a lot of people don't realize the Downtown Improvement Authority actually is a taxing authority, and they spend a lot. They spend good money downtown, and with that, it's time to readdress the boundaries of the Downtown Improvement Authority. Until you have the opportunity to expand it, because we're a government town, a lot of the property downtown is not taxable. The tax base is limited, so you're going to be able to do even more amazing things if we have the ability to expand the Downtown Improvement Authority boundaries. I know that's something that's been on the radar of our board. Commissioner Miller and I have participated in these conversations, but that's a significant policy issue that should be addressed and could also have a very dramatic impact on downtown.
Commissioner Ziffer, quickly, please.
Just very quickly, and I'm going to give a big applause here for Commissioner Miller. Has anybody here ridden the Rhythm Bus? If you haven't, you need to. It's a bus that runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. Thursday, Friday, Saturday night from like 6 p.m. till 3 a.m. And all the places that Commissioner Maddox just said, this bus pretty much drives around. And it's free of charge. And so you can get out of your car. You can go to all these different places. You can have a great time. I suggest you do it with a couple of other people. We went out with about 10 of us. And I will tell you, it is like being in a large city, the amount of fun that we had. So we have an awful lot of things. I think more people need to be out exceeding them, but I got to tell you, try the Rhythm Bus. You'll love it.
That was a fantastic marketing message there, Commissioner Ziffer. I appreciate that.
That will have to be the last word for the broadcast portion of our program tonight. This was recorded live at St. John's Episcopal Church in downtown Tallahassee. The Village Square is committed to civil and constructive public dialogue on the issues that matter to our community, our state, and our nation. Find the remainder of tonight's conversation online at tothevillagesquare.org. Thank you for joining us, and good night.
Join us again next time for another visit to the Village Square on WFSU-FM.